welcome to the Forward Move podcast. I'm Jamie, your host. Welcome to season 3, Women Who Inspire Me. This season, I sat down to chat with amazing, resilient, and inspiring women in my life who are the true definition of the forward move. They were able to move forward from something in their life with or without it figured out. I hope their stories will not only connect with you, but encourage you to do the same. In episode 2, I have a deep conversation with my sister in grief, Kara, about her journey of losing both parents before she became a mom herself, and how she's had to put the forward move to continuing life after loss. Grief is force changed. It's love where no place to go. I hope you enjoy our conversation, and thanks for listening.
Hello, my friend, Kara.
Hi, friend.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing so well. How about yourself?
Good. I'm doing great. And I'm so glad that you agreed to do this. You are my sister in grief. And I think it's such an incredible topic and a little bit taboo that people, I feel, don't discuss that often.
Totally.
And so I sincerely appreciate your vulnerability and your honesty and just letting us into your world of grief. And I hope that it's going to help other people and inspire them to keep the conversation going. And with that being said, if you don't mind just jumping in and telling us your name, age, and how we know each other.
I would love to. Yes, my name is Kara Lidberg. I am, oh my gosh, just turned 40 years old. And I was thinking about this today. I'm pretty sure it was a mutual friend that introduced us, right?
Yes, yes, okay. Yes. Or I know, I feel it's weird because I think the universe, we're connected through a couple different friends, which is really cool. And yes. Also have obviously gone through some loss in our life, but more so, you know, our moms. And then of course you lost both of your parents. So it's like a common thread that you don't want to like necessarily, you know, have that. Like it's not something to brag about. Oh yeah, we both, you know, but it's also nice to not feel alone. And yes. I thought it was overly important that you share your story with grief and how you're handling it and managing it. And let's just start by like, how did you grow up? Where did you grow up? What was your childhood like?
Okay. So I grew up over on the Space Coast in a little town called Rockledge, Florida. And it was just the three of us. It was my mom, dad, and me. I'm an only child. And we were a very tight knit family. And just like super active. We always had something going on, right? Like we never sat still. And
growing up, because I too grew up an only child, did you feel almost like they were your friends/parents? Like
yes.
more like friends. I mean, obviously there was that respect level and I'm sure, you know, parent drama, teen drama, but you know, did you feel very connected to both of them in almost like a friendship way too?
Yes. Cause they were literally my only friends for a while. Right.
Yeah.
So we started making friends. So they were like, they were my people.
Yes.
So that's exactly how I felt.
And what was your mom like?
My mom, she wore the pants in the family and she was like the center of attention wherever she went. She just had this like warm energy. She loved people. She loved talking to people. Made everyone feel like super loved constantly. And whereas my dad, on the other hand, was like this super shy and reserved. Like he was definitely the introvert, would rather stay home, but he would always go out because she wanted to go out, you know, that kind of thing. So they were like a yin and yang for a while.
Oh, that's great. And it's funny because I feel the same way about my parents. And I think I kind of got the best of both worlds a little bit. Maybe you too. Like I can retreat or I can be very, you know, outgoing. So
yes.
I love that. So you were super close. Do you feel that you were close with like one more over the other, or was it kind of mutual like between the three of you guys?
You know, I think during my teen years, I felt a little bit closer to my dad because my mom, she was like the disciplinarian and kind of like, I didn't want to disappoint her. And so then I would like go to my dad as like a confidant, like against my mom, which is not awesome, but eventually I was closer to my mom most of the time. Like after I grew up, it was just me and my mom against the world. My parents divorced when I was, when I was in college. And then I kind of like didn't talk to my dad for a few years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So was that pretty a difficult point in your life, or was it more so just kind of getting adjusted to, you know, being a kid of divorced parents, or did you feel that you were just siding more with your mom?
Well, a little bit of all of that. So she had been, she didn't tell me, like, and this is one thing about her, like, she never told me things to, like, worry me. So she didn't tell me that he had cheated on her, right? And, like, that's why they were getting divorced. But then it came out because she got breast cancer in the middle of all this.
Oh, wow.
And, I saw him at the hospital, and he introduced himself to the doctor as her husband, and I, like, lost my shit, Jamie. Oh. And, like, went off on him. It kind of like the teenage rage. I was like maybe 18, and I was like, you're not her effing husband. Like,
just, oh gosh, yeah.
My grandfather had to pull me away, and I, like, didn't speak to him for years. I'm talking years. And I, like, went to therapy, and it was just, it was a lot.
How many years do you think that was? So you were 18. So how long do you think?
I didn't speak to him until, gosh, oh, I mean, I would say a good 7 or 8 years.
Oh, wow. And did he try to reach out, or was it kind of?
Yeah, he did. He did for a while.
I'd imagine, then, you know, being the only child too, you know, that's, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, my mom would even try to tell him, like, give her her space. Like, and she was so good about this. Like, she forgave him and kind of moved on, but, like, she knew I couldn't for some reason. I had to, like, work through it. So she, They just let me feel my feelings, which was super nice. Yeah.
I think kind of, because my mom and I were really close, and although, you know, we were at odds about some topics, but there is this, like, bond between a mom and a daughter, right? And now that we're moms of daughters, I kind of feel it all over again, where, I don't know, I was very overly protective of my mom, but hard on her, but really overly, like, just protective of her heart and her, who she was, because she was such a good person. And your mom sounds very similar to mine, like, just would do anything for anyone. And with that, you know, people sometimes take advantage. And it kind of sounded, unfortunately, that's what happened between the two of them. She was kind of taken advantage of because she was probably too nice, you know, or too nice to a fault. And I completely relate when you're saying that you're just, like, going for the jugular in defense of your mom, you know.
I
understand that wholeheartedly. So when you guys got back, you know, kind of reconciled after 7 or 8 years, was that kind of like starting anew, just all over again, or did it kind of fall back right back into place?
No, it definitely took some time. And it was, I mean, at that point I was living in Las Vegas, so it wasn't really easy to, like, we were long distance, right?
He
was
still different. Yeah.
So I would just come in to visit for a couple of days and, like, go back. So it probably was the best, because we would just get little bits and pieces of each other, you know, and then come back and forth and see each other and kind of, like, slowly make amends, you know?
Yeah. When, at the time that he passed, where were you guys in terms of your relationship?
Well, that's what's crazy, Jamie. I had just been like, okay, because I always came back here to Florida. So I said, okay, sure, come out to Vegas. And it's the first time he came to Vegas, and we had lunch, and we had this long conversation, kind of like, I mean, we were both in tears. I kind of apologized for what I did. He apologized for what he did. And we were, you know, like, I felt like we were in such a good place. And that's when I was like, okay, when I come home for Thanksgiving, I'll stay with you this Thanksgiving, instead of, I always stay with my mom.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll stay with you. So he was supposed to pick me up for, like, my flight. And then that's how I found out he died.
Because, oh my gosh, you were, like, mid-flight. You were in.
No, I had emailed him 2 days before I was gonna, fly in, just to make sure.
Right.
I was like, hey, you can pick me up, right? Still. And he never replied to my email. And I called my mom and I was like, wait a second. He always replies to my emails. And she's like, oh, he's probably, like, just at the movies, whatever. Like, just,
maybe. Yeah.
And so then I called his house and I called his cell phone. And no pickup. And so finally I called the police to do a well check, and that's how I found out.
Oh, wow. And what did he end up dying of?
A brain aneurysm.
Oh my gosh. And no prior health history, or, like,
well, that's what's crazy. Cause he had a brain aneurysm like 4 or 5 years prior to the one that killed him. Mm. And they put a stent in, and they were like, okay, it won't happen again, but it happened again. So that was kind of like the way he was meant to go, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God. And just, I mean, it's one thing to find out when you're in town, right? Or you're close by. So you are across the country. You've just made amends with, you know, your father. Yeah. You're on the right track. I mean, God, 2 days before a visit, I mean, what was that like? Were you okay, I'm on the next flight, or did you have to process? Like, what?
Well, yeah. And that's what also, I was on a job in Vegas, like a huge one. Like, it was the Latin Grammys. And I was like, Mom, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to come home right now? And she was kind of like, well, Kara, he's already dead. Like, just come home when you were supposed to, and we'll figure this all out together. Which it was hard on her too, because she knew that was her husband, not her, I mean, it was her ex-husband, but she loved it too.
Yeah. All the history. And I always say, you know, no one is exempt from grief, unfortunately. You know, it affects everyone different times, and I can imagine. So you finish your job, because you are a professional dancer, right? Out in Las Vegas. And you finish your job and you go back, and your grief process really starts all over again, because you had like kind of a mini grief because you didn't have them in your life for a while. And now part two of it, but now it's infinite. So, you know, how are you feeling those days? Were you just kind of on autopilot? Were you consumed? What was that like?
I definitely was on autopilot, because I had to like get all of his stuff out of his house and get ready to sell it and do all this stuff and like figure out his, because he didn't want a funeral. He just wanted, you know, to be cremated, and I had to do all that stuff. And that was the first time I like even learned how to do any of this, because no one teaches you this.
Right? No. And no one wants to talk about it either. No. You know, it's never a good like hot topic, right? No.
Like what to do when your family member dies. But like, we really need to know, because it's going to happen. So I was like learning that whole process, and then also feeling guilty for not making amends sooner. And then also feeling grateful that I had made amends, you know? So it was like this whole dichotomy of emotions, like just swirling. Just
conflicting. Yeah. And then was your mom kind of in remission at the time? Cause I know you had mentioned she had breast cancer. What was her overall like health state at that point?
Yes. She was in remission, and she was like super healthy at the time. She sat in remission for almost 14 years.
Wow. That's incredible. I mean, yeah. But then it just came back with a vengeance, or?
Yes. Yeah. So that, it's crazy to have both of these stories, you know?
I know. How far apart was that?
3 years.
3 years. And when, I mean, obviously you'd been through cancer with her once before, how was this time different, or how did you feel this time?
So she, like I said, she never really told me exactly what was going on. So I didn't know. I honestly didn't know, Jamie, that it was that bad.
Cause you were back in Las Vegas, right? Or had you moved?
No, at this point, like she had come out to Vegas, drove me home. I met Keith. She met Keith. And it came back just like, I guess a few months before our wedding. And she just was like, oh, it's fine. It's back, but it's fine. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Kept saying, I'll be fine. Like, wouldn't tell me, she just wouldn't tell me anything. And then like, she's been remarried by this point, and her husband wasn't really telling me anything either. I guess probably because of the wedding, they didn't want to worry me. But then even at the wedding, or at the dress fitting for our dresses, she was starting to get a little bit bloated. And I didn't know this at the time about like when they start filling up with water and stuff.
Yeah.
That it's not a great sign. And she just kept downplaying it and downplaying it. So
do you think that was, I mean, now that we're moms too, do you think that was to protect you?
Yes.
Or you don't think it was any denial. It was more so protecting you.
She knew what was happening. 1000% she knew what was happening, but her every move she made in life, Jamie, like it was to protect me.
I know. Honestly, my mom was the same. She was so selfless, and she's to a fault, right? Where I was like, you have to, you know, be transparent and you know, I have to help. I have, because I'm such a helper, and I imagine you are too, that it's like, that's, it's wild, because again, now that we have children ourselves, and, you know, God forbid ever being put in that situation, but I don't know if I would do the same thing, because I don't know if that was, harmful or helpful? You know,
it seems harmful, like in the moment going through it. I don't know if you felt the same way. Like, why didn't you tell me? But then now, like you said, as a mom, like, I don't want her to feel my pain, you know?
Right, right, right. Ugh. And so when you're going through the loss of your father and then 3 years later and you're newlywed and you're starting out, and did your mom pass right away or was it a while?
No, we got married in June and she passed in September.
Oh my God. Oh.
So she literally held on for the wedding. And I think I had, when we came back from our honeymoon, that's when I found out I was pregnant with my daughter. And I came home and told her, and I knew something was wrong then because she was obviously happy, but then like so devastated. Sorry. And I found out later just because she knew that she wouldn't be here.
Yeah. You're pregnant. I mean, what a special gift that she at least knew. I mean,
yeah. And she knew, we found out the sex like a couple of weeks before she passed. So I told her that the day before she died, like she got transferred to hospice that day. And I said, mom, it's a girl. And her middle name will be Catherine, like her, my mom's name.
Oh, how beautiful.
And I knew she heard me at least. Cause at that point she was like, yeah, she was ready to go, but
yeah. Oh gosh. And now you're pregnant, you're newlywed, you're in the thick of it, right?
So yeah.
Grieving, I was postpartum grieving. So I was a real, real mess. But do you think part of your survival of it, right? Your perseverance and just getting through, do you think being pregnant helped you during that time because you had maybe something else to focus on, or you knew you wanted to keep that baby healthy? Like where did your mind go?
That was exactly it. I basically didn't grieve because I was so scared that if I like got too emotional or like, I just was so scared I was going to hurt the baby. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then I know it was helpful in the moment, but like hurtful later because I had not processed that grief at all. It was just like stagnant in my body, which is not good either. But my whole thought process was like, you just have to like get through this and make sure the baby's okay. And, you know, and then go from there.
When you had your, you know, the darkest of days, you know, I still have them, you know, it ebbs and flows with grief because we've talked about this before. Like you can just, I swear you could be doing, I don't know, water skiing. Like it's just something so insignificant to what has happened. And all of a sudden you're just inconsolable I don't know what that is. I like to call it like, you know, my grief flare up, you know, I've kind of dubbed it as that because I don't know how to describe it to someone who hasn't experienced it yet. And I often, when I'm in that moment, and it's really hard for me because I try not to pity myself, but I'm getting better at learning to let myself feel those feelings.
Yeah.
Do you let yourself go there?
You know what? I try to, yes, now, because it's been a while and like I'm learning through this grief process as well, that like the world still revolves, right, even though I'm in this like deep, deep place. Like I need to feel this in order to get through it.
Right.
Because otherwise, you know, I don't know if you noticed this, but like, if I need to like have one of those inconsolable moments and if I need to grieve, my body feels it before my mind does.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like something like I'll get sick or, I just feel super antsy that day. And I'm just like, oh my God, I need to like feel my grief right now.
Right. I need to get it out. I got to get it out. I'm a terrible crier. I mean, I have that full blown ugly cry, right? You know, selfishly, I'm like, I don't want to ruin my makeup, but
yes.
Okay. So here are the best places I found to cry. Okay. This is kind of creating a little bit of a diversion, but, the shower, right?
Yes.
Because you're just already a wet mess. The gym, because it looks like sweat. even post gym, like when you're just driving in the car.
Yes.
Like, hey, this could be hot yoga. I try to like let it out. And I think for me, and we have young children as well, you know, letting them know that it's okay to be sad and it's okay to feel this way and miss that person and remember that person. And at first, before I went through my grief counseling, I never told, you know, my daughter about my mom dying. I just couldn't utter the words. I mean, she died when she was three, but she has this wonderful, vivid memory of her, and which I love. And I very much want to keep that ever present in her mind. Right. But I just couldn't utter the words, you know, I'm looking at this innocent child and it felt heartbreaking in so many ways. And then going through the grief counseling, you know, they're like, you have to be honest, and honesty is always the best policy, because then you can start working on those memories, right? You can start working on those core memories. Do you find now that your kids are getting a little bit older, are you able to talk about your parents with them?
I do. And you know, it's interesting because I do talk about my mom a lot more often. Like if I start crying, like randomly, Parker now knows, she's like, oh, do you miss your mommy? Like she knows what it's about if I'm just like randomly crying, right?
Right.
And she knows that, she's like, oh, I'm named after your mommy and Pierce is named after your daddy. It's hard because I don't talk about my dad as often as I probably should because, you know, we had that strain.
Right.
But
right.
I've started to talk about my mom more and she'll see pictures and stuff. It's just hard that they like never met her or anything. So
I still feel though, even it's just something about losing a life and a life being reborn, right? It's the full circle. Yeah. But I do feel that in a way, I'm almost certain that there's some connection, you know, there's some cosmic, you know, whether that's spiritual or universe driven, like I do. And I mean, for me, I feel like she's watching over them. Do you ever get that feeling?
Oh yes, for sure. I definitely do. And like Pierce will see two bluebirds and he randomly was like, well, that's your mommy. And I'm like, what?
Oh my God. I love that. I have goosebumps. I love that.
And what's also crazy is Pierce was born on my dad's birthday.
What?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Like I told Keith, I'm like, I think he's going to be born on my dad's birthday. Cause my due date was like September 29th and Pierce was born October 2nd. And he's like, no way, you're just being crazy. And I'm like, well, nope. And he sure as heck was.
Wow. That, oh my gosh. Now that is wild and so cool. And so cool. I mean, the fact that you can say, hey, you have your grandpa's birthday. Like, oh, it's so awesome. I do think that it's hard being a mom, you know, all the things, right? A wife, a mom, a grieving mom, a grieving wife, a grieving friend.
Yes.
What, and gosh, now that we're on the other side of it, right now, like when I have someone close to me, you know, where their parent passes or a friend passes, I'm so aware of what I do and say, right? Because I know what I couldn't stand and it's not other people's fault, right? They just, and I was the same way. You just don't know.
No.
What's some of your advice that you would tell, you know, someone that might be a friend of yours, or they have a friend who's grieving, who's lost a parent or both parents, like what's some of the advice? Like, what could a friend do to support, or what could they say? And there's no right answers, right? Because every person grieves differently, but what's some of the things that helped you?
Some things that helped me were like having meals brought over that I didn't have to think about cooking, you know, just, or like even like a meal train. I don't think we even had, Uber wasn't around when my dad passed, but like just having to not think about things, like maybe you go over and like cook someone dinner, or you go over and do their laundry or hold their baby. Like if they're postpartum, you know, like, just go help out in some way instead of, don't ask like, what can I do? Because someone's like, nothing, I'm good.
It's almost like jumping in. I remember my friend coming over and I was like, what are you doing here? She's like, I'm taking your kid to school. And I'm like, what? And I just was like, I started crying even more because you don't realize like the smallest of things like that, or even going grocery shopping or coming over to walk the dog, right?
Exactly. Just take something off my plate.
Yes.
Just something. And then also I think everyone was scared to talk about the person who died, but like, I want to talk about them. And I think even now people are worried to bring it up. Like someone would be like, is that okay if we talk about, yes, please. Let's please talk about my mom. Let's please talk about my dad. So to not tiptoe around it, you know, and just I mean, I could go on and on about the platitudes, like which platitudes not to say. And like,
oh gosh, yes. Oh, they're in a better place.
Oh, like, I can't stand that one.
I mean, I understand, and I hope to see that one day too. But oh, it just, it brings no comfort. And
oh, their place is here with me.
Yes, yes. And I think the acknowledgement of you're going through something, you know, yes. Like I still to this day will have really hard days, and sometimes even my own husband, well, what's wrong? And I'm like, I'm grieving.
Yep.
And it's almost like, I don't think people expect us to be over it, but there's this sense of like, oh, enough time has passed.
Yes.
Still sad, or
yes.
That's
yes.
Still affecting you, you know? And it's, again, it's not, I don't think it's coming from a bad place. It's a place of, oh, I've never experienced this. Right.
Yeah. I was exactly going to say that they don't know yet. And
then, right. Yep. Right. Right. And I encourage, you know, everyone to talk about the plan for their parents, not just their parents, but themselves. Yeah. I think it's so important, because what you don't want to do, and you found out the hard way, and kind of so did I, is when you have to, right? When
yes.
It's already in process or it's done, and now you're, you know, it's on a scavenger hunt to find out where are the important documents? What did they want? Is there a celebration of life? Is there life insurance?
Yes.
Is there, I mean, just the list goes on and on. So I know I've been very proactive with getting our affairs in order, and it's kind of like, okay, good. Now we don't have to talk about it, right? We can just kind of check that box and live life to the fullest that we possibly can. And know that I want to live my children without having to do that, you know, one less thing for them in their time of grief. Cause I think it's very important, because I know you go in autopilot, right? Survival mode. You just start doing everything and anything, but adding that is such a compounding factor if it's not already done. So
yes, correct. I totally agree with you. And I know like it, for some people it's scary to talk about death, and like, it's scary to even think about it, but like it quite literally is going to happen to all of us. So it's like,
yeah.
This has to be done, you know, it just makes things easier.
And the holidays, especially, I know they're coming up, and it's always, I have this thing where it's like my mom's birthday's November, and through Christmas, I am just an unforgiving kind of a hot mess. And I think it's really good because I vocalize it. Not that I want to set myself up to be, you know, sad or depressed, but I want people to know that, you know, this is a really hard time of year for me. So, you know, maybe I'm going to put more volunteer efforts in, or maybe I'm going to spend some me time, extra me time or something. Do you have, when you're going through the holidays or birthdays or Mother's Day and Father's Day, so hard, how do you celebrate those now? Is it possible for you to celebrate those?
It is, you know, and I think it's helped that I'm a mother and my husband's a father, so we can celebrate each other. But it was hard for me at first, because I was just like, I couldn't get on Instagram that day on Mother's Day. I was just jealous of everyone who got to celebrate their moms. I was, you know, like I had this, I don't know, kind of like irrational rage.
Yeah. You just are jealous. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm the same way. I feel the same way. And it's silly, because I'm not, I guess I should be more envious, right? Not jealous.
Right.
But I envy, and that's still a part of it too, right? Because you're still, it doesn't matter if it happened yesterday or 10 years from now, you're still trying to live a life that you didn't know before.
Yes. And that's the other part of grief no one really tells you about, is the moments where they're missing out when they should be there.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, she would love this. Like she should be here for this, you know, and no one, those are like some of the hardest moments.
Those are some of the hardest, because you feel robbed. You feel robbed for your children, right?
Yes.
You feel robbed for, everything. And it sounds like we were raised by some really strong women.
Yes.
And, you know, some days I'm like, oh God, like you're supposed to help me.
Oh my God. You know? Sometimes I want to call her.
tell me what to do. Tell me I'm the best thing in the world. And what I've learned, and it's been really hard, but now I have to give that to myself. And it's such a work in progress, right? But I have to rely on me even more, which becomes a little bit harder, you know, in our journey. But I think personally that you and I keeping the conversations about our parents still going, the memories alive, showing support to others and just really letting people know that grief is normal. It's okay. Yeah. There, it's not a mental illness. It is feelings. It is loss. It's, you know, so many things are unexplainable. You have this life with them, the life when it actually happens, and then the life after. And, you know, you just try to move on and do your best. But I think that people need to hear that if you're going through grief, if you're going through loss, keep going, right? Keep moving. Yeah. Keep moving forward, live for them. I think about that all the time because sometimes in my heaviest days, I'm like, you start contemplating your own mortality, right? And yes. you start thinking like, what does life mean? What is it about? Yes. And I think to myself, what would my mom want for me? And she would be like, get out of bed, go wash your face, you know, like go put on your kitten heels and, you know, and make it the best day ever. And, that's really what keeps me going. So what do you tell yourself that keeps you going?
You know, it's the same. It's like, I'm making sure my daughter sees the strong woman that my mom was, and I'm kind of not emulating that, but I need to be that for her and for my son, obviously. But yeah, it is. It's, I mean, it's knowing that she's proud no matter where she is.
Yes.
And, 100%. And what's crazy is like, when I was growing up, I always kind of like needed her approval. So not having it right now is like really hard, but like, it's also helping me become who I need to become.
Yes. Yes.
No. So it's, thank goodness for these kiddos.
Yes. And therapy and friends.
Yes.
And
God
love our supportive husbands.
I know. I think about my poor husband 3 months in and he's like, boom. And I'm like, oh,
I know. He's like, wait a minute. What did I sign up for?
What is this?
you know, yes. But you know, I think that, we're stronger, you know, I think that we're wiser and, you know, we're doing our best. Right. And that's what we have to remind ourselves is we are our children's, you know, our parents' children. We are those strong, independent women that they raised. And it is our mission in life to continue the legacy of them. And I just want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. I know it's not easy and it can be really emotional, even for me. But I think there's something so beautiful about it as well.
I'm just so glad you asked me and I appreciate it. And I definitely agree. Like, we have to talk about it more.
Yes. And if anyone wants to follow you, are you open to that?
Yes, I would love it. And I do like the grief reels, and that's what's helped me with my grief too, is like channeling it into these video forms so that other people can feel not so alone as well.
Yes. And I love them and I watch them. And, you know, I usually watch a lot of stories muted, like most humans out there. But I unmute yours, okay? So I just... I do read the captions too, sometimes I do. But we will continue our grief journey together. We'll put the forward to it, and we will help other women and children and people get through their grief as well. So thanks, Kara, so much. I'm wishing you all the best in the world. I love and admire you, and thanks for being on today.
Oh, thank you so much, and ditto to everything you have said today.
Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Okay, bye. Bye.